Hello, I talk to you about some news, because I got some good news. I got some good news for you today. I got some news I read in the newspaper. I'm not talking about the newspaper. I ain't talking about the New York Times. I ain't talking about the Daily News. I ain't talking about the Washington Post. I'm talking about the word of the Lord. I'm talking about the word of the Lord, because I read it in the newspaper. And the word of the Lord is going to save you. It's going to save you from the devil. It's going to save you from hell. The word of the Lord is going to be your sustenance. It's going to be something you can live off. It's going to be your food. It's going to be your food. And when I talk about food, I ain't talking about no McDonald's. I ain't talking about no Burger King. I ain't talking about no Golden Corral with a chocolate fountain. I'm talking about spiritual food. I'm talking about spiritual food. And when I talk about spiritual food, what I'm gonna do today is what I preach is I'm gonna take that spiritual food. I'm gonna take that spiritual food and I'm gonna warm it up. I'm gonna bring it to life before you. I'm gonna be your spiritual microwave. I am a spiritual microwave, and that spiritual food is gonna be sizzling, it's gonna be smoking, it's gonna be steaming, because it's the word of the Lord, and I read it in the newspaper, Right. Hello. Now, what I'd like to talk about today is America. And what I particularly like to talk about is something that's always fascinated me about America, which is, why are Americans so religious? Why are Americans so much more religious than English people? When you consider that Americans are, in many ways, the same as English people, the core of America, their culture, as it were, comes from England. So why is it, excuse me, that rather takes it out of you, that Americans are so religious compared to English people? Well, one of the things that got me thinking about this was some years ago, in 2013, I was in a place called Lafayette, Tennessee, and a friend of mine, who was American, he's from New York, and myself, we had this idea that we'd like to hire a car from New York and drive down to Lafayette, Tennessee, and go to a snake handling church, the pastor of which was a 22-year-old father of five called Andrew Hamblin. We had originally wanted to go to a snake handling church in a place called Jolo, West Virginia. But unfortunately, when I started planning the journey, it came to my attention that the pastor in question had been bitten to death by snakes. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, by the way, in the Appalachians, there's this particular Christian group that take rather literally a phrase somewhere in the Bible that says that if you are a Christian, you can handle serpents, poisonous serpents, and you can drink poison and you'll be fine. The Holy Spirit will look after you. There won't be a problem. And this developed in about the beginning of the last century. And it's of reasonable significance down there. So I went along, they were very, very friendly to us, very, very friendly people. We went along to this church. We were driving around the mountains, in the middle of nowhere. There were Confederate flags on windows, trailer parks, that kind of thing. And eventually we got to this church on a Sunday afternoon, and there was possibly about 30 people there. And we were, this Andrew Hamblin fellow, we got talking to him. He was very friendly, and he was explaining that he'd only been bitten twice. And when he'd been bitten, it was because the Holy Spirit hadn't been certain that the Holy Spirit had been telling him to handle the snakes. And so on one occasion he was bitten on the back of the head, and then the poison didn't go in. And on the other occasion he was bitten on his left hand, I think it was, and he lost the use of this finger permanently. Now, people do die in this snake handling religion, you see. So and he was saying, "So my dad and they children," but fortunately he didn't. It was okay. These people were, you wouldn't see anything like this. And it struck me at the time. Well, anywhere in New York, I mean, America is a very diverse country. Of course, it should be stressed, 350 million people or whatever it is. Massive country, but even, you know, certainly within Europe, you wouldn't see any level of religiosity as high as this. And so it struck me that, what is it about the Americans? Why is it that they don't want to be British, but there's a degree to which, you know, they are, obviously, a lot of them their ancestors are British. You go around this area, and a lot of English names, what's going on? Now, they are undoubtedly more religious than Europeans. According to the latest Pew Research, which was from last year, 70.6% of Americans claim to be Christian. And 77%, so this is compared to survey data in England, which finds that it's somewhere in the region of 50%, according to the most recent data, that claim to be Christian. It depends on how you measure it, but it was 59.5% on the 2011 census. Well, that's many, many years ago now. And it seems, according to the most recent data we have, which is from 2016, it's something, it might even be as low as 41% of people in England who claim to be Christian, as against 70.6% of people in America. So they are evidently considerably more religious. In terms of going to church once a week, from the most recent data I could find, 47% of Americans go to church once a week, compared to 2016, 4.7% of people in the UK. In terms of religious belief and believing in God, according to the data, it is atheists make up a mere 3.1% of people in the United States, compared to a much, much smaller percentage, something like 2% or about half. Atheists make up that in the UK, so about half of that in the United States. So they are clearly considerably more religious than people in Britain. So what's going on? What are the causes of this? You've got a situation, I mean, for example, another example would be in terms of belief in God. 52% of people in England claim to believe in God, claim to be certain that God exists, compared to 66% of people in America who claim to be certain that God exists. So on a scale of certainty. So what's going on? Why is it that Americans are so much more religious? Well, one of the reasons that may be relevant is simply environment on the one hand. So there's a degree to which it seems to be, obviously, you've never had socialism in the USA. So there is, obviously, again, I cannot stress enough, that there's a great deal of diversity in the USA when it comes to the imposition of left-wing policies, the imposition of a welfare state, the extent of social security and this kind of thing. But overall, it is clearly less generous than England. You don't have this socialism influence in the USA to the same extent. Now, what this means, of course, is that you can rise very, very high. You can earn an enormous amount of money. You can become very, very rich in a way that is more difficult in a lot of European countries, because in those countries you'll be taxed very, very heavily. I mean, the highest tax rate in Finland, where I live, is about 70% or something. So you can rise, but you can also fall very, very low, to the extent of basically ending up living in a shed. I mean, they call them trailer parks. But if you've ever been to these places, I mean, it's extraordinary levels of poverty. I mean, it's basically a shed, maybe with a dog chained up outside. You get to a point in some parts of the South or the Appalachians in West Virginia where people are living off roadkill. I mean, people are kind of hunter-gatherers. So there's parts of America that are basically third world countries, by European standards anyway. And so obviously this means stress is high. And now, as we've discussed in other videos, stress is associated with religiousness. When people become stressed, they become instinctive, and they become prone to their cognitive biases, and one of our evolved cognitive biases appears to be to religiousness. Religiousness hits in at times of stress. So that's one reason. Another reason is that precisely because you don't have this influence of socialism in America, you have these massive social differences. Once you have massive social differences, you have resentment, and you have feelings of exclusion. And it was found, there was this study that found that by Noreen Zion and Sharif, which found that the other correlate of religiousness is not just stress, but also a feeling of exclusion. If you feel excluded, if you feel left out, if you feel persecuted, shall we say, then one of the consequences of this is that you become religious and it gives you a sense of self-esteem and self-worth and all this kind of thing. And so again, this elevates your religiousness. A third possibility, though I'm not sure there's any research on it quantitatively, was suggested by Max Weber, which is, again, if you're very, very rich, if you're much richer than most people, you you feel a sense of guilt, and religiousness alleviates this sense of guilt because you feel you are blessed and it's meant to be and it's okay. You know, you don't feel guilty about it. It's God's will that you should be wealthy. I don't know, that's another possibility. But then you can see these environmental issues which might elevate stress in America. Health insurance, for example. You don't have a cradle-to-grave health system like there is in Europe, or whatever it happens to be. And so this would perhaps elevate religiousness on the environmental level. Now, in terms of other factors, we know that religiousness is something that is a matter of selection. Religiousness is something that is selected for under Darwinian conditions. And the evidence for this is that, as with any other such adaptive thing, it correlates with fertility, it correlates with mental and physical health. Twin studies show it to be genetic, 40% genetic for religiousness, about 66% genetic for things like conversion experience and very pronounced religiousness and proneness to pray, and that kind of thing. It hits in at times of stress, and that tends to be true of any evolved adaptation. It tends to be heightened at times of stress. And so for all these, and we can also see how it would be sexually selected for, would be, because it would mean that the person was agreeable and followed the rules and that kind of thing. It's a marker of a certain kind of personality which people will find attractive and will get on with. And also we can see that it would make the person more agreeable, and so they'd be less likely to be killed and forced out by the band and that kind of thing. So religiousness can be seen as something genetic. So how would this fit in with understanding the difference in religiousness between England and America? Well, it can be argued that there were two kinds of groups that founded pretty much the USA originally. Two groups. One was the Puritans and the other were the merchants. Now, the Puritans were people who were in the 17th century, were people who were extremely religious, even by the standards of the time. Okay, so we would expect them to be, probably for genetic reasons, very, very high in religiousness. And they wanted to found this Calvinist fundamentalist utopia, basically. And so they were so extreme, they were persecuted even in England by the Church of England. So they made their way to America, and those people settled mainly in New England, Massachusetts, Plymouth, these kinds of places. That's the Puritans. The other group of people that made their way along were, of course, these people that were there, the very much mercantile. They were there to make money. They wanted to make money. They saw an opportunity in America. They wanted to, you know, farm tobacco or whatever it happened to be. And those people made their way to Virginia and that kind of area. So it's very interesting. You've got these two groups of English people who, within England themselves, would be Jamestown, these kinds of places, would be relatively separate. Now, this is quite interesting. Now, they would have been subject, of course, both of them, to intense levels of selection. Higher, more intense Darwinian selection than you would get in the old country, in England, for a number of reasons. Firstly, they're not adapted to the ecology. The Native Americans can be understood to have been adapted over a very long time to this particular ecology. They're not adapted to the ecology. They've transplanted themselves out of somewhere else. They're not physically adapted to the ecology. They're not mentally adapted to the ecology. So as a consequence of that, they're going to be under stronger levels of selection. And one of the things that tends to happen under these intense levels of selection is group selection. Groups which are highly positively ethnocentric and highly negatively ethnocentric. Those groups, so groups that can be highly cooperative, but also can be violent and whatever against outsiders in order to survive. Those groups, according to computer models, they tend to survive. Now, religiousness, it has been shown in a number of studies, and I put them in the link below, religiousness correlates with ethnocentrism. Religious people tend to be certainly more positively ethnocentric and negatively ethnocentric. Now, in that case, it is the religion issue that becomes the proxy for the nature of their group. So they won't perhaps overtly say, oh, you know, we're pro-English and we hate the Native Americans. They'll say if Native Americans convert, then they're one of us and fine and come in. That will be overtly what they're saying. But covertly, of course, that's not what's happening at all. Covertly, they've got a religion. They're the ones that are Christian. The outsiders are evil and of the devil and can be destroyed. The insiders are Christian and must be cooperated with and must be helped and so on. And so that's why religiousness and ethnocentrism, this kind of behaviour, correlates. So you end up with this very strong level of group selection. And this is going to select, therefore, for religiousness. If, once you get a battle of group selection, the genes which are going to cause you to be group selected, the genes which are going to cause you to be religious, are going to be more intensely selected for. So, therefore, in the battle with the environment on the one hand, and in the battle with the Native Americans on the other hand, you would expect religiousness to start to be selected for in the USA among these people to a greater extent than would be occurring in England. So that's one factor that's going to be germane. You've got this, a second factor in the environment as well, is that America tends to suffer these colder winters than we suffer in England because of the Gulf Stream and so on. So that's also going to be a selection factor for cooperation and for a certain and for religiousness and so forth. So this is what's very important here. These are the key factors. Now, if we look at the nature of the people that come there, on the one hand, you're going to have these very religious people, as I said, in New England. In Virginia, this is interesting as well, because it's not, yes, religiousness is remaining. Religiousness actually predicts migration. And there's quite good evidence for that. Again, I will put a link below. That there are studies in the USA that have found that people who emigrate to the USA are more religious when they're still in their home country than those who stay. And then they come to America and they remain more religious. So religiousness predicts migration. People who are religious are more likely to migrate. Why this should be the case is unclear. It may be because they have this sense of confidence induced by believing in God or whatever. It may be because it is the adaptive thing to do for them to migrate, and religiousness tends to promote that which is evolutionarily adaptive and give them reason to do it or whatever it happens to be. But religious people are more inclined to migrate. So so we would expect, therefore, even those who migrated to Virginia and then downwards and to the south, to be more religious than those who were left behind. The second factor which seems to be associated with migration in terms of personality is the trait known as openness. Openness means that you're open to new ideas, things like this, you're open to change, you're open to new possibilities. But it also means that you're basically subject to hypnosis. You're open to new things to the extent that you can kind of be persuaded, that you can be really kind of hypnotized. And this is also associated with being artistic and creative and aesthetic and this kind of thing. So even with those that went to Virginia, we would expect them to be higher in openness than those whom they left behind. And openness is associated with, weakly associated actually, with religiousness, with admittedly more a kind of liberal, spiritual kind of religiousness. But even so, it is associated with religiousness. So even those that went to Virginia, we would and so on, and Maryland, we would expect to be higher in religiousness than those they left behind. So we can start to see, and the other thing is extroversion, which means that you feel positive feelings strongly. This predicts migration. And extroversion, when it comes to religiousness, extroverts tend to be charismatic religiousness, into the kind of religiousness where you go into trances and go a bit bonkers and whatever, like these snake handlers that I talked about earlier. So you'd expect that kind of religiousness to be associated with extroversion. So you can start to see what's happening. You have a group within the English population who are more religious than those who are left behind. And because they are more religious, they are inclined to migrate, because religiousness predicts migration. But they are also higher in openness and extroversion, because these two factors predict migration, and openness itself also predicts religiousness. So you can see how what has happened is that the most religious types of English people, it is those people who have migrated to the USA. In the case of the northern states, it would be, I suppose, the more serious, the more religion of the sick soul, the kind of darker-minded, Weberian, Calvinist, hard-working sort of religious people that would go there. There'd be a slight difference between them and the people in the south, whose religiousness would be predicted by their being high in openness and this sort of thing. So you'd have these, and high in extroversion as well. So you'd have these psychological differences between the North and the South. And as you may have seen in another video, my colleague Michael Woodley of Manee has noted that the people in the South tended to have predominantly Celtic ancestry, and the people that went to the North tended to have predominantly sort of Anglo-Saxon ancestry, and that the Civil War may ultimately be understood as a battle between these two ethnic subgroups within the British, and that it was the more Saxon one that managed to triumph. So this is very interesting. Now then we get to subsequent waves of migration, which occurred from Ireland, which occurred from Eastern Europe and whatever in the 19th century and the early 20th century. Again, we would predict that those people would be higher in religiousness based on migration patterns than those left behind. They would be higher in openness than those left behind. They would be higher in extroversion than those left behind. So then we start to understand not just the religiousness of the Americans, but also the modal personality of the Americans, the stereotype that Americans are confident and brash and outgoing and talkative and at least superficially friendly and all this kind of thing, which they undoubtedly are. If you go there, you will notice this, would be precisely predicted by the fact that it is extroversion and openness which are predicting migration. That's why Americans would come across as louder and basically enjoyers of life to a greater extent than the English, whom the Americans stereotype as kind of uptight and serious and all this kind of thing. Well, that's what they would seem like to them, because the English would be lower in extroversion. So we can start to understand what's going on. Now, in terms of further selection pressures subsequent to this, first of all, you've got a civil war which occurred in the USA in the 1860s, which had a massive death toll of something like 10% of the population. You would expect in that context, it would be a context of intense group selection, remember, so you would expect this to elevate religiousness. You would expect the more religious to survive. To the extent that the South was decimated, you would expect the more religious people within the South to have survived. So that would also be relevant to understanding the high level of religiousness. Then you've got the fact that industrialization would have come to America somewhat later in a lot of respects than England, because you've got this massive country with huge distances within the country. And so the degree to which you can have access to medical care and immediate solutions to medical problems or whatever it happens to be is rather more limited than would be the case in a country like England. And so you would expect natural selection to have broken down in America rather later than is the case in England. And so that may also be relevant to higher religiousness. They are simply less mutated, if you like. The level of dysgenics among the European population within the USA may well be less intense than is the case in England. And so this, it seems to me, helps to explain this fundamental difference. It's a select population who are highly religious and who have personality traits independent of that, which would elevate religiousness simply because they want to migrate, which have come to America and founded America, and they've passed on these traits as a genetic legacy and also a cultural legacy as an extension of that to subsequent generations of Americans. And then America has opened itself up later to be in the 20th century to be this immigrant nation, and that has itself drawn in religious people. Because that's what predicts migration. And so this helps to explain why the country is more religious. As for the blacks within America, that make up about 12% of the population, the slave, descendants of mostly of slaves that were brought there in the 16th and 17th centuries, they are even, this is interesting, they are even more religious than the average. And this is the case even when you would say, oh, well, religion is associated with low IQ, and black people have an IQ of 85, white people have an IQ of 100, and so therefore you would expect blacks to be more religious simply because of their low IQ. Well, there's a number of problems with this. First of all, blacks are higher in what's called psychopathic personality, that is to say lower agreeableness and lower conscientiousness, and these things are negatively associated with religiousness. But secondly, even when you control essentially for IQ, so you control for socioeconomic status, you control for wealth, you control for education, whatever, black people are still more religious, considerably more religious than white people. 79% of blacks in the USA claim to be Christians. 88% of them claim to be certain that God exists. And as I say, even when you control for all these things, they're still more religious. Now, this would imply, again, very strong selection for religiousness, which is exactly what you'd expect. How do you survive on these slave plantations? It's basically a matter of group selection between the whites and the blacks. The blacks who are uncooperative or these traits that are associated with low religiosity are probably going to get themselves more likely to be beaten, more likely to be killed, more likely to be worked to death, less likely to end up at the big house. Basically, their fertility is likely to be indirectly limited. So also, they will have been under Darwinian selection for longer because the conditions they are in will have been poorer. And so therefore, the collapse of religiousness caused by the Industrial Revolution and the collapse in child mortality and people with kind of mutant genes that would have been selected out under conditions of Darwinian selection, surviving and the rise of atheism, whatever, this will have been less intense in African Americans. Would have had less time among African Americans, and so therefore you would expect them to be higher in these traits associated with religion, and you would expect them to be more religious, and this seems to be the case. So that's pretty much it, really. So I don't think it's that complex. Well, it is a relatively complex issue, but I should stress, of course, that America is very diverse. You always get this whenever you make any assertion about anything, whether it was Ireland last week or Jordan Peterson the week before or whatever it happens to be. You'll always get some twit who'll say, oh, it's not like that where I live. It's not like that in the state of Rhode Island. It's not like that in my house in the state of Rhode Island. It's not like that in my mind. What we're talking about is groups and differences between groups. There will always be exceptions. We're talking about correlations. There will always be things that don't quite fit the rules. I mean, I have people saying, well, look, the GDP in Ireland is very high. How can their IQ be low? Well, it's only a correlation between GDP and IQ. These kinds of silly comments. So, you know, we'll ignore those. As far as I can see, to be clear, Americans are more religious than British people. Americans have snake handling churches and whatever because they have been selected to be religiousness by selective immigration for religiousness and then by a harsher and more group selected environment once they've got there. And so this helps us to make sense of what's going on in America, and in many ways it helps us to make sense why America is standing up to Islam and remains more religious, why things like the abortion debate is germane in the USA at the moment, why are these things going on when they're in Europe. In England, abortion has been legal since the 60s and nobody questions it. It's because they're more religious, and they're more religious for genetic reasons, and we can understand what those reasons are. It's harsher group selection plus selective migration for the highly religious. Okay, well, I hope that's been of interest. And if you've liked this kind of stuff, then please, please do subscribe. It really helps me when you subscribe. Please subscribe. And also remember to, if you really like my stuff, you can, of course, fund me on PayPal, which I'd like to thank the people who have done so. I don't want to name you publicly, but I keep getting funding on this. Thank you very much. On Subscribestar and on Patreon, you'll find the details below. If you like this kind of stuff, then you perhaps be interested in buying some of my books. And again, you'll see this down below. If you have any questions, please do get in touch. This video itself was inspired by somebody asking me to do it in the comments. So please do get in touch. And if I like your idea, I will make it into a video. So please do get in touch. I always like corresponding with people. And I hope this has been of interest. And goodbye. And see you soon. And praise Jesus! And yes, goodbye.